So welcome. This week we're going to be talking about writing for travel trade magazines. And this is really meant to be a baseline 101 introductory salvo into the matter because a lot of you may not have written for magazines at all before, and some of you may have only written for consumer magazines or newspapers. I see some folks on here that I know that write for newspapers. And trade can seem a bit esoteric or different, or who really reads those things. And so I'm going to try to break down for you what trade magazines are, what they do, what their purpose is, and then touch a little bit on how you fit into that equation. But we'll expand more on that in future weeks. So today, what I'm going to talk about, sort of in terms of the trajectory, is I want to start by looking at why travel trade magazines might be that thing that you are missing, especially if you prefer for your income to come from writing for magazines, whether that's a prestige thing or you have a journalism background, rather than writing for websites. Trade magazines can offer something that I think a lot of people who are stuck in this feast or famine cycle are waiting a long time to hear back from editors about pitches they're really in love with, something that they really need. And then we're going to talk about what it's like to write for travel trades. And this especially is where I invite you to ask me a lot of questions because I've been writing for them for quite a few years, really, really a lot of articles, hundreds of articles every year. And so I'm very happy to be very transparent about that process and the type of articles I do and the press strips associated with travel trades and how they're different and all sorts of things. And then we're going to talk about what travel trade magazines there are and how they, first of all, might surprise you, but also how they can be a good way for you to perhaps expand into becoming an expert in other areas of the travel industry that you don't know too much about that you might be interested in. Okay, I'm just going to take a couple questions quickly. Great, somebody says that she had read these trade magazines being a travel agent and wants to learn about writing for them. If you have a background, if you've previously worked in any of the areas that these travel magazines, travel trade magazines touch on, you are the prime candidate to write for them because editors often get stuck in this kind of rock and a hard place thing where they would really love to have great writers. And when I say great writers, I don't necessarily mean that your writing is literary poetry so much as that you are reliable and knowledgeable and know how to do an interview and piece together an article. But they get stuck between wanting great writers and wanting people who understand their subject matter, who are able to find sources. And so you can get away often with providing one or the other of those two things. But if you're able to provide both, you're really a shoo-in. And we're going to talk more next week when we talk about letters of introduction about how to craft your opening pitch, so to say, to a travel trade magazine editor. God, this is a tongue twister, guys. I'm sorry. How to craft your opening introduction to the travel trade magazine editor, whether you do have that experience or whether you don't. But if you do have it, that's a really great opening. Okay, just a couple other quick questions. So somebody asked, when a publication says they only want service pieces, and this is a great question that I wanted to answer because I think a lot of people who don't necessarily have journalism backgrounds might not know what that means. And I also just want to preface by saying I didn't go to journalism school. My degree is not only in literature, it is in literature in a non-English language. So I also didn't go to journalism school. I learned these terms through working and through reading blogs about freelance writing. So service pieces means it is an article that has a how-to angle. So the article is typically written in second person, as in you can this, after you this, first you do this. And the article is strongly focused around describing, explaining, providing the reasons for how to do something. So that's what service means. Okay, just a couple other quick questions. This is interesting. Somebody has a question about when you're breaking down a magazine, how do you figure out the word count per article without counting each word? So when I talk about how to pitch magazines, I often say that you should give a word count-ish for the article that you're pitching, but that should really just be to demonstrate that you have knowledge of this section. And I'm going to get to this later, but when you're pitching travel trade magazines, you are typically not sending them a traditional pitch, first of all. And second of all, the word count is really going to be generally something that comes from the editor. I've heard some editors say, don't tell me how long the piece is, I'm going to tell you how long the piece is. So that's not something that I would really worry about. Okay, one more. Are travel trade magazines good for someone just starting out without any or many clips? Is it worth it for me to pursue these at the beginning? This is a great question, which tied into what Carrie asked, which is that if you do have some background in the field, this is the best. This is really a great way not only to get clips, but to get experience working, writing for a journalistic setting. And the reason for that is, like I said, that these editors are looking for both writing experience and industry experience. And if you can provide one of those, that's often good enough if the editor has a need they need to fill. So we're going to talk later about what types of industry experience you can use. And next week, we're going to talk even more specifically about how to spin experience you have. But for instance, so I didn't work in the travel industry previously. I worked at a university in the Office of International Studies, but I did do a lot of event planning and I kind of had some travel knowledge. So I was able particularly to parlay my experience with setting up events into writing for magazines for meeting planners about places where they could hold events, which ends up being a much more travel-oriented thing, but I used my event background to get into that. Okay, so let's get going. I'll answer some more questions as we go along. And I think there's a couple questions that I didn't answer yet, but it's because they're going to come up in my talk anyway. In terms of my background on this, I had mentioned briefly earlier, but especially for those of you who are joining us, I have been writing for travel trade magazines for several years, and I didn't go into it with a journalism background. I actually went into it with a background as a marketing writer and some sort of esoterically connected experience. But what really allowed me to continue to successfully write for those magazines was simply learning on the job. And so if you're interested in having an editor who sort of mentors you through learning to write for magazines, this can be a really great way to do it. And it was funny because I started out when I first left my job, I thought I was going to be a blogger. And for a while I was a bit apologist about specializing in web writing and feeling bad that I wasn't a print writer. And then a funny thing happened a few years ago. I was at a blogging conference and somebody asked me what I did, and I realized that pretty much all of my quite respectable income was, in fact, coming from writing for print magazines and largely trades. So somebody had a question about what travel trade magazines pay, and I want to jump on that first because obviously this is the elephant in the room in a couple ways. Because if you read the blog post or the email reminder about the webinar, and if you didn't get it, and you're used to getting them, it's because I'm trying to now only send that Wednesday email to the folks who haven't already registered for the email. But if you'd still like to see that content, it's on the blog every Wednesday. So in terms of the pay, one of the things I really love about travel trade magazines is the regularity of the pay, and not just because you can get very frequent assignments, but because they tend to pay you on acceptance and the 1st and the 15th of the month. So you might file a story and get a check just 2 weeks after that, which is really grand. But of course, it matters how much that check is for. But the thing is that it doesn't just matter the sheer amount that the check is for. What really matters is your hourly rate. It matters how long it has taken you to put together that article. So I'm going to talk a little bit about just the sort of black and white pay rates of these magazines, but I also want to look at the time involved. So a very small travel trade magazine, say something that has even as few as 6,000 subscribers every month, is going to be paying something like 25 cents a word. And a large travel trade magazine, the kind of things that go to everyone in the industry or ones that are very specialized and thus are able to command a high rate from their advertisers, these are going to be paying up to a dollar a word. So this is a very wide spectrum, and obviously different magazines fall into different parts of the spectrum. But what's important to remember here, as I've got on this slide, is the hourly rate, because that's what really matters. Because here's the thing that is one of the factors that can really make travel trade magazines worth your time, is that these editors tend to edit more than one magazine. I would say typically between maybe three or four, and sometimes they'll have their hands in different pots of up to 12 different magazines on the trade side. As I was saying, so the thing that can make travel trade magazines really worth your time isn't we're going to get to how you write these articles and what type of articles they're interested in a second. But I also want to mention that these editors typically are editing multiple publications. And so what that means is that your hourly rate is decreased by the fact that you have this relationship with the editor, and you don't need to be double-checking style guides. You don't need to be wondering what you need to be writing. You have the relationship with the editor, and that helps you to, A, feel confident that you can just ask him a question if you're not sure if something needs to be done a certain way, and it helps you to get more and more and more assignments with less and less and less marketing work, which can really bring your hourly rate down. But secondly, in terms of hourly rate, one of the things that can make these travel trade magazines very easy to write is that they are GASP interview-based. But I think interviews are a topic that people, especially people who are coming, like I was, not from a journalism background or from a background in blogging particularly, don't feel confident doing interviews, don't know how to set up interviews, think they need to be doing it only via email, are afraid to pick up the phone, are not sure where to source them. And the thing about working with these travel trade magazines is, first of all, you will learn how to do it because they always are going to want sources. But second of all, the editors often connect you with the sources. I've had trade magazines that I wrote for years, and they essentially have a source list that they pass around. They also have guidelines, but they say, here's a bunch of people who recently got this designation that would be good sources, or here is an Excel sheet with the email addresses of everybody that we have ever interviewed. So if you are working on a story in the future and need a source, check out this list, and we have their direct contact information. So that's sort of the more general way, but I have a friend who's written a lot in the sustainable space, and she also sort of does quite a bit of architecture. And she typically has her editors just give her the names and contact information of the sources directly. So how much time is saved depends a bit on the editor and also the article, but having your sources handed to you, believe me, I can tell you, I track my time religiously, can be a huge, huge time savings. But the thing is that it's actually often not that hard to find people, especially if you're interviewing people from tourism boards or people who represent venues. And the thing is that at first, I used to do my interviews very long. I think I would, I don't even know, maybe have people on the phone for 25 or 30 minutes, and I needed to interview a lot of people, and I wasn't sure what questions to ask. And again, I'm going to talk more about this in an upcoming week. And I would kind of let them tell me everything because I was worried about missing something, and I was worried about directing the conversation and missing what was a great quote. And now I have some techniques for this and that we'll talk about later, but that you can really, in, I try to do it in like 7 minutes, get pretty much everything you need from a person. And you do need to be a bit direct and sort of keeping them on topic and shaping your questions and whatnot. But what that means is that, say you are writing a feature which is interview-based. So it might be a trend piece, and a trend piece can be any length, but in this case we're going to say it's a feature. And so say you're writing a trend piece and you need to include, travel trade magazine editors often have stipulations about how many sources you need to use, and they need you to include 3, okay? Say you get all of those interviews done in 15 minutes each, okay? That's 45 minutes. Now, you might think, okay, but I still have to write the piece. But here's the fantastic thing about this sort of trade magazine article, is that your piece is written for you in your interview notes. And all you have to do is go back to your notes, clean up the sentences, put them in order, and you magically have a feature. And then you just go through and you smooth out some of the words. And if this is something like watching me take interview notes and turning it into a story, if that's something that people would want to see, I can do like a live demo of that in a webinar as well. But what I've found to be really shocking is that at first you might think, oh, well, these, I don't know anything about this topic, it's going to take me a really long time to research it. But people teach you in the interviews. You ask them questions that are very basic, and you ask them to explain it like they would explain it to a visitor or to a travel agent or something like that. And then you get them to explain it in exactly the right kind of words that you need to use in your story. And all you have to do is clean them up and type them up and then mix up quotes that are in quotes and quotes that you've paraphrased and a couple transitions, and you magically have a 2,400-word feature. It's really great, and it takes much, much less time than writing a destination feature, where I have to come up with, what are the transformative moments, or what's the trajectory? Like, where did I start? Where do I end? What do I want to include along the way? These types of features take much less time. And so you can extrapolate from what I'm saying about the features, how much less time it also takes you to write the shorter type of articles that you would be doing for trade magazines. So that's pretty much everything I have to say about pay rate. But in terms of, to give you an idea, I told you a couple little snippets here, but to put together, say, how long it would take me to write a feature that was like this 2,400 word one that I was just mentioning, which is very interview based. Let's say I was working on this feature, it's based on travel trends. I'm going to go online and I'm going to spend, I think the maximum I've ever spent sourcing people for an article would be an hour. But let's say I spent like half an hour looking for people who had maybe talked to other magazines or had written articles themselves or were somehow thought leaders in this area and sent them a message, and now I've got my interview scheduled. So that's an hour of looking for interviews. Then I spend 15 minutes each doing my interviews. Then it typically takes me just cleaning them up and sort of sorting them out, and I use a color coding system. So each interview source gets their own color, and then I put subject headings in my draft of my article. So let's say it's going to be trends in food service at conferences, right? And we're going to talk about individual desserts being one, like cake pops and mini tarts and things like that. So one thing is going to be individualizing, one thing is going to be eco-friendly, and one thing is going to be locavore. So I'm going to put bold headings for each of those three things I just mentioned. And then as I go through my quotes, I just cut and paste, cut and paste, cut and paste everything from the interview that went into each of those categories. And then I go through and I clean up each of those quotes and add transitions. And that'll take me again maybe about half an hour just to do the cutting and pasting, and then 45 minutes, an hour, maybe an hour and a half to clean that all up. So all told, I've spent less than 4 hours on this article. And not because I'm fast, but because I'm not doing unnecessary work. And so what that means is that even if that article only pays $400, which is going to be a really low per word rate for 2,400 words, I'm still running a $100 an hour hourly rate. And this, guys, is why it is so, so important to track your time if you don't do it already. Because first of all, that keeps you from spending too much time on certain tasks. But secondly, it also helps you to know, well, this article is paying this much, so I need to make sure I get it done in a certain amount of time in order to fit my hourly rate. Great question over here. Somebody asked, do you have to transcribe the interviews? It seems like that would add on a lot of time. This is a really great question. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what's expected from different types of magazines in a minute. But some places do require, and for a lot of consumer, major consumer magazines, this is also a requirement, require you to record your interviews. And I just want to say this up front, guys. Any time you are recording a person, whether you are at a talk in a workshop or you are having a chat with somebody, what have you, anytime you are recording a person, this is in the US, I'm not quite sure about Australia and the UK exactly, but you are legally required to let them know you are recording before you start, okay? I see a lot of people turn it on and then say later, oh, I'm recording, I hope that's okay. It's not from a legal perspective. And you don't want to get into an issue with that with your editor. So if you are going to be recording your interviews, make sure that you are letting people know in advance. So in terms of transcribing, I have not worked with a magazine where I am required to provide transcription of the interviews, but what I do have is some magazines that I work with require you to keep the recording of the interview on file for like 6 months or something like that, or forever. And this is definitely something that I recommend you do. I don't record all my interviews. I have had instances where people might say like, oh, this wasn't the quote, blah, blah, blah. But to be honest, and I heard a really great talk about this the other day, people typically prefer for you to clean up their quotes and not include what they say verbatim. And they typically only have an issue when you have changed a fact. So as long as you are making sure that as you are cleaning up and as you are paraphrasing and so on and so forth, that you stay to the point on the facts, then you are completely in the clear. And if you're not sure, and I see this happen a lot with trade magazines, you can always send not the full article, but the quotes that you are attributing to a person to that person to review before you file your article. Just make sure you give yourself enough buffer room for that to happen. And in trade publications, because you're often quoting people who work for companies who are going to be quoted in that article as working for companies or tourism boards or what have you, they may ask you if they can review the quotes. And always check first with your editor about what the policy for your specific publication is, because they differ. Some people might say no, not ever. Some people might be very used to this and say, yeah, you can send them the full article. And some might say you should only send them your quotes. So my general rule of thumb is to only send quotes. However, always check with your editor. So in terms of transcribing for yourself, this is a different question. So I take notes while I am on the call. Some people might find this hard, but if you're doing your interview the right way, you shouldn't really be talking and you shouldn't even have to ask that many questions. Usually 5 questions for a 10-minute interview is even too many. You just need to get them start talking. So as long as you can take notes while somebody is talking, you should be able to get what you need while you are on the call. However, I do recommend, if you are not a super fast typer, recording the call while you're on it so that you can fill in your notes after the fact. But again, make sure you let them know. A follow-up question on that. So the color coding that I mentioned that I'm doing when I'm putting together my features is my notes that I have taken during the call with the quotes that I know that I want to use, with the information that I want to put into the article in some way. That's what I'm color coding. Okay, let's get moving, because I want to make sure that we talk about what the different types of articles are and things like that. But if you have any questions that I missed, there was a lot of things all at once, please feel free to drop them back in to the chat box. So here's really the big question. Why are travel trade magazines a much more stable income stream than consumer magazines? So just to step back a little bit for 1 second, if you don't know, there's essentially 3 legs of the stool in publishing. There are consumer magazines, which are the ones that you buy on the newsstand. There's custom magazines, which are made by a company specifically for its customers. So that's in-flight magazines that you're going to see in airlines. That's the AAA magazine that you get if you have AAA, or the car magazine, or Geico that you get, things like that. Trade magazines, like custom magazines, you can't buy on the newsstand, but for a different reason. So trade magazines are able to reach a very small circulation, but have healthy ad rates, have healthy revenue from their advertisers, by having what's called a qualified circulation. So this means that they have ensured their advertisers that the only people looking at the publication are people who are in a position to spend money, typically large amounts of money, on whatever the advertisers might be selling. So what this means is it's going to be people who work in a certain industry and make spending decisions related to that job. As a result, like I said, even if a publication only has 6,000 subscribers, they're able to pay you 25 cents a word. Typically, on the consumer side, a publication would need to be having, I want to say, at least in the 6 figures of subscribers to be able to pay you that much. So in terms of how you have a more stable income, though, it's because, like I mentioned earlier, for these editors, having somebody who knows their readers and knows what their readers want, and also is a bit of a familiar face, is really useful, because, like I said, they often have small subscriber bases, but subscriber bases who need to get important information for their jobs and for their purchasing decisions from these magazines. So editors want to be working with the same people over and over again, because that's less information transmission about their audience, their publication, their industry that they need to be doing. So what happens with travel trade magazines is, by and large, you aren't pitching them ideas. I hope this is the next slide. They pitch you ideas. Mind blown, right? I know we may have heard, or you may have heard, of some people who get assigned articles from their editor for certain consumer magazines. Afar does this quite a bit, as well as many other ones. But the thing is that with trade magazines, they hew very closely to what is on their editorial calendar. When I say very closely, I mean like unless they don't get enough ad revenue to back up a certain story, they will definitely do everything that is on their calendar, which is not the case with consumer magazines. But what that means is that travel trade editors, on the one hand, can plan in advance because they're going to stick to their calendar, but on the other hand, are not able to accept pitches for things that aren't on their calendar. So you can say, oh, well, you know, but I saw that this was on their calendar, so maybe I should just pitch it to them. But the thing is that they typically have already discussed in their own editorial meetings in some way what that article is going to be about because it's an important ecosystem. Trade magazines work differently than consumer magazines. Like I said, their relationship with advertisers is different. And so what will often happen is that somebody on the sales team will say, hey, we got this big ad for this issue. Can we do some content, not necessarily around that advertiser, okay, but maybe around camping because it's a campground, okay? And so what that means is that if you just see that it's the outdoor summer vacation piece, you might pitch them something so far left field away from that. Whereas internally, they already know that they need to be doing camping. So what happens in most travel trade publications is that if you pitch them stuff, they just won't even look at it. The only way that they can work with you is to sign you the ideas that they have already generated in-house. So somebody said, how can you find out about their editorial calendars? You go to the magazine's website and you look at its editorial calendar. Every travel trade magazine will have it very prominently displayed. You click on advertising or editorial calendar, or you can just Google the name of the magazine and the editorial calendar. But the thing is that you don't need it until once you've already started talking to the editor in most cases, because then they will tell you what issue they're working on, and they will say, hey, I might be able to work with you on a story for what month are we in now, May? I might be able to work with you on a story for our September issue about North Carolina beaches. Do you have some ideas for that? And then you can go about pitching them specific ideas. But the thing is that they are typically telling you what article they want you to be focusing on. And so then the corollary of that is they're not only telling you once you get to know them and once you've proven to them that you can write for their audience and that you're a pleasure to work with, they're not only pitching you their current calendar, their next issue, they can be pitching you several issues ahead. They can be pitching you for other magazines that they have. So the reason that this is really fantastic for your income is that once you get in with that editor, they are not only going to come to you with pitches rather than you pitching them, which saves a ton of marketing time, but they're also going to ask you if you can write for their other magazines. They're going to ask you if you can write things that are far in advance and maybe go on a press trip related to it. It just takes a huge chunk of time out of your work on the one hand, but also allows you to have much more reliable assignments because you know that that editor is going to come to you with some regularity in every single month or multiple times a month once you get to know them. Okay, so what is it like to work for trade magazines, travel trade magazines? And when I say work for, I don't mean in-house, I mean write for. So I may have missed some questions on this earlier, so if you had some and I didn't get to them yet, this is the time to drop them in. So I just talked a little bit about how the process of being given an article worked. I talked earlier about sourcing and how often your editors will be coming to you with sources and not the other way around. And I talked a little bit about this concept of sometimes the editor says, hey, we have a spot on our calendar for this. What do you have for me? So I think someone had asked earlier, how do we come up with these ideas, or are we just pitching them travel trends? How do you know what to pitch an editor? This is kind of an open question, guys. If an editor has asked you for pitches, what is your first step to figure out what to pitch them? Great answer. Ask them. Well, right now they've asked you for pitches. So in typical consumer settings, I would say ask them what they'd like. But if an editor asks you to come up with some pitches for them, where do you start? Read the magazine. Read the magazine. Totally. I can't believe how often this is overlooked, and there was just a hilarious sort of interchange on Twitter about this the other day. But everything that you need to know to figure out what type of pitches the editor is looking for is right there in their magazine. And the thing about trade magazines is they're almost always online and you can just download them, or the full articles are online as well. So if an editor asks you for pitches around a certain topic, then you go and you look at what they've done on similar topics in the past, and you pitch them something just like that, but on your topic. So for instance, I had mentioned as a example article something that was a feature which was about trends for meeting planners in food service at big galas and banquets and things like that. And I had mentioned a couple different trends that I featured. How did I go about figuring out what trends I was going to pitch my editor for that? First, I checked on their publication, and I looked at what they had written before. And then I checked on their competing publications, and I looked at what their competing publications had written about. And then I just put the search terms in Google and looked in to see if anything else came up. And I found a couple things on blogs. And then I said, what about this interests me? And then I went back to the editor and said, hey, why don't we do it about this? So the thing that I find, especially for those of you who are saying, well, I'm just starting out, I haven't written for magazines in the past, is this really the right thing for me? I feel like I don't know what to do here. These editors really need good writers. I can't tell you. Sometimes I see them looking for writers on the sort of please pitch me sites, but not even that often, because like I said, they need to know that people know a little bit about their industry, or at least are willing to learn. And so these editors tend to kind of sit there and hope that magic happens, basically, that something arrives in their inbox, or maybe they'll try to poach a writer from another publication. I heard about this happening recently. Or they'll just give their existing writers more and more and more and more work. But if you come to them, then they will show you, like I said about sourcing, they might give you sources, they might tell you where to look for sources. If you say, okay, well, like, here's an idea that I have for this article, but how would you like me to lay it out? How would you like to be organized? They will tell you. One of my travel trade editors, this is actually an intern that they had, so this wasn't necessarily a freelancer, but he told me that after she wrote each one of her pieces for the publication, he would sit down with her afterwards, after it had been published, and go over all of the changes that he made and talk to her about why she had changed those things, or why he had changed those things, and what she could do differently next time. And I was kind of like, wow. And he was like, but it comes with the job. So often the editors of these magazines are incredibly generous with their knowledge about how to report, as in how to collect the information for your article, how to write your article, how to pitch, how to come up with ideas. They are really great mentors to have when you are just starting. But here's the other thing. Besides just building your skills by working with these mentors, a really cool thing happens when you write for travel trade magazines, okay? As you are writing about the industry, and like I said, doing really quite a lot of interviews, you get to know a lot of people in the industry, especially and often tourism boards, or hotels, or attractions, or other places like that. And what inevitably happens is that you will interview them for this piece, and you will have a good chat, and then people will start asking you to come and see them sometime. And then you get invited on press trips. And then perhaps you get invited to write for that destination's, the tourism board itself website. Or by virtue of being on that press trip, you meet other editors that you can then go on and pitch. Working for trade magazines builds your connections in the industry. And this, to me, besides having the editors come to you with assignments or having checks that come like 15 days after you filed your story, this is one of the coolest, most valuable part of writing for trade magazines, is that you get to know all the people in the industry. So in the last 2 years, I've gone to the North American TBEX, which I never had gone to recently, and TBEX is a travel blogging conference. However, a lot of the sponsors are destinations. They're tourism boards, they're destination management organizations. And I just thought it was the funniest thing when I got to TBEX this year. In terms of the sponsor tables, I knew personally, I had met, I had interviewed, I had worked with in some capacity, almost every destination that was there. And somebody joked that I just know everybody. And I said, well, in the Southeast, because this conference was in Alabama, I do, because I've been covering that for years, and I know every tourism board. I know somebody there. If I don't know the person who's at the event, I know somebody who's given me photos to use with a story in the past or something like that. So you can use writing for trade magazines to worm your way into an area of the industry that you want to know more about. If you want to do travel content marketing for hotels, write for trade magazines for hoteliers and learn more about hotels' work and what their pain points are and what they need help with. And then go pitch sources after your stories come out, only after your stories come out, to help them with their content marketing. Okay, so I want to shift over, and because I want to leave some time for questions at the end, but please make sure you're dropping questions in as we go along as well. But I want to shift over and I want to talk about what kind of travel trade magazines there are, because I've mentioned a few of these a bit briefly, and some other people have kind of chimed in that they have read them in their past lives as a tour travel agent and things like that. But I want to sort of open your eyes to some of the very, very random different things that you can be learning about when you're working for travel trade magazines. So they basically fall into six main categories. And the sixth one, I would say, isn't necessarily always classified as a travel trade, but might be more up the alley of many of you. So the first two seem a bit similar, tour operators and travel agents, but in terms of the trade magazines, they're actually quite a bit different. So magazines for tour operators tend to focus on a couple things. Sometimes they might be talking about hotels, but that's not usually the point. You're not going to see so much in terms of hotel reviews here. Magazines for tour operators tend to be talking about interesting activities in a place or giving an overview of a destination in terms of why you should go there, where you should stay, where you should eat, what you should do while you're there. So these magazines can be great places to write larger destination pieces, but also to get to interview a lot of different types of tourism businesses. Whereas magazines for travel agents tend to have a couple things, and some of them can help you really break in. So one of the things that magazines for travel agents tend to have that can help you sort of shimmy in if you don't have this background is that they tend to have some content on running your business or marketing or things of that nature. So that can be a good way to break into a lot of these trade magazines, is by focusing on the marketing content in the beginning if that is your background. But the magazines for travel agents tend to have more reviews of things that are very fresh and new, particularly hotels, and these are often needing to be done based on an actual stay, which can be great because the magazines will sometimes just send you there. I've had a magazine I've never written for before. I wrote them and asked if they were looking for writers, and they say, well, we usually only use writers for to review properties for us, so like, would you be willing to go on a trip on short notice? And I was like, well, of course I would. Well, I mean, now not so much. But for those of you who would be willing to go on a trip on short notice, these can be great. And so also with the travel agents, like I said, they're also looking at things that are oriented around how to run their business. They're looking at things that are hotel reviews, also activity reviews, also venue reviews, but also a lot of trend pieces here of what is new in travel. And these are a lot of the kind of things that you can do from wherever you are based on interviews. Now, the general industry publications, these can be a little harder to put your finger on, but I'm sure you're familiar with them. So do any of you guys know Skift? S-K-I-F-T. It's a website. Well, they kind of also have a print version, but it's mainly a website. So some of you know that. So Skift is the travel trade online publication that most of you would be most familiar with. But the thing is that I think that we kind of forget that it is, at its heart, a travel trade publication. It's really meant for people in the travel industry. It's talking about, you know, how Trump will affect airline prices. It's talking about how, you know, the London bridge attack will affect trips, not just to London, but all of Europe and things like that. So the general industry publications tend to tackle quite a lot of topics, but not so much destination-specific, review-specific things, though they can. If there's a big hotel opening, they'll often cover that. But they tend to be a bit more, not just general in terms of the industry, but general in terms of the types of things they cover in the industry. So they'll be covering more trends that will touch a lot of different examples. Trends that will cover a lot of different parts of the industry. Sorry, somebody had a question that I didn't quite understand. Carrie, I'm not quite sure what you'd like more examples of. Let me know in the chat box. Examples like Skift. Okay, we're going to get to examples of all of these different categories on the next page. I've pulled the part of the six-figure travel writing roadmap book where we list the names of all of the major travel trades. So we're going to look at examples in a second. So for the general industry publications, again, these are going to be the kind of things where, like, if you like to write profiles or trend pieces, this would be a great place to go. As I mentioned, hotel professionals, if this is a part of the industry that you're interested in learning more about because you want to be doing content marketing for them, this is a great way to parlay into that. But the magazines for hotel professionals are going to also focus more on the business side of things, which can be a great entree if you have a background in a different type of business in terms of a way to break into writing for travel trade magazines and then parlay those travel trade magazine clips over into other types of travel trade magazines that you might be more interested topically in writing for. Now, the magazines for meeting planners, there are a lot. There are so many magazines for meeting planners. It's just unbelievable. And they, obviously, all magazines that are in the same industry need to differentiate themselves from their competitors somehow. But what I will say particularly about the travel trade magazines for meeting planners is that they all have a different flavor. Some are more focused on destination-oriented content, as in giving ideas of venues where you could have an event, or ideas of corporate social responsibility outings, like voluntourism things that you can do as a company, or, you know, interesting, these bus tours that you get on with your whole group and you, like, ride around the city and there's beer and there's talking and there's tastings and all these different things. So some are more focused on the experiential side, some are more focused on service, to go back to that word, advice content for the meeting planners themselves, and some are more going to be larger trends in the industry. And that's going to be the case across all of these magazines. You're going to see a differentiation in each of these verticals that I'm telling you about between what different magazines cover. And this is something that you can use to help yourself figure out which magazine to focus on. So as I mentioned, the sixth category here, hospitality industry, is not necessarily trade strictly, but this is for like restaurateurs, bartenders, different things like that. So I'm just throwing these up here. Don't write these down. Like I said, they're in our book. You can get the digital version on our website if you want the whole list. But I just want to show you like the crazy explosion of all of the different types of magazines that there are in these areas. And particularly, like this one I always use as an example when I'm talking about magazines that focus on very narrow things, hospitality technology, you guys. Like, there's a whole magazine just about sort of infotech that they use in hotels. There's hotel design, there's hotel business, there's hotel F&B. F&B is a term that's used very commonly in the travel trade side, and F&B means food and beverage. For meeting planners, I don't even think I have quite all of them on here. I think I have most of them. But there are literally just each state. There's one publishing company that has a magazine for each and every state that has a decent number of meetings going on. And so, like I said, I don't think we have quite all of them on here, but this is going to be the Michigan meetings and events, Minnesota meetings and events, New Jersey meetings and events, Northwest meetings and events. Then there's going to be ones that are just for meetings that are for associations. There's going to be ones that are, let's see, there's going to be ones that are just for religious conferences or just for physicians conferences. And so people are asking me if these are in the database. So we don't typically put travel trade magazines in the database because, like I said, and like I'm going to get into, you don't typically pitch them. So because you need to write them with something different, a letter of introduction, we don't have them in the database because we don't want you to spend a bunch of time writing up a pitch for a particular section. And people who are asking about the slides, like I said, all of these listings are available in our book. So if you don't have the print version, you can also get a digital copy online very quickly and easily. So as I was mentioning, there's all of these different magazines that focus on very, very different things, but they all need the same type of work. And so we spoke in the beginning of the call in quite a bit of detail about how to go about writing an article for these magazines. We talked about the pitching part. We talked about setting up the interviews. We talked about how to do the interviews and how to put them together into your article. But we also looked a little bit at what are the different types of articles. And the thing is that it's really important to remember that even if you don't know anything about hospitality technology right now, that doesn't preclude you from writing any of these things about it. The whole point of being a journalist, of writing as a journalist rather than as a writer, is that you are asking questions, and the writing that you are doing is not based on your own knowledge. It's based on a conglomeration of knowledge from other people that you have gathered in search of that article. So the thing about these travel trade magazines that I want to point out that's interesting, so somebody asked earlier, do we just pitch them what's new? Yeah, I'm going to go through what each of these different types is. Just one sec. So somebody asked earlier, do we just pitch them what's new? So in these magazines, the news brief or the short little newsy bits at the beginning of the magazine tend to be written in-house by the editors. And the reason for that is that they usually know, not just better than you do, but before you do, everything that's new in their industry, and they know their audience best, so they know which of those things they should be including for their audience. So they tend to just write up those short news briefs themselves. So you don't need to worry about keeping track of every single little thing that is going on. And if there is a news brief that's required, they're typically going to assign it to you. And like I said, they're probably going to give you the sources and the information that you need to write that up. We talked before about features. And the features that you'd be doing for travel trade magazines, by and large, I'm trying to think if there's any exceptions. I've maybe seen just a few. But they tend to never be these first-person narrative features about a place. It might be that you're writing for a travel agent or a tour operator magazine and you're writing about your own experience there. But by and large, they tend to be reported features where you are collecting information about a place and weaving in quotations from people who are sources, who are knowledgeable experts on that area or on that attraction. So more narrative features, or sorry, more reported features than narrative features in here for sure. But profiles are a place where you might end up doing some first-person work, particularly if you're in a situation where you're doing profiles of new hotels that have opened. That's a big one. And so profiles can often be a more third-person business profile where you're talking about the backstory of a business owner, why he's opened that hotel or that restaurant or that museum or started that tour company. Roundups are going to be a very great bit of work if you are not comfortable writing long. So what a roundup is a collection essentially of shorter articles around a certain theme that are all put together. So travel trade magazines, some of them tend more towards features that are a feature, which is all in one go, and some travel trade magazines tend more towards features that are roundups. And so what that means is that even though your assignment might be for 1,500, 1,700 words, you're actually essentially writing an introduction and then five small 22 or 220 or 300 word articles within that umbrella, each about its own place based on its own interview. And so the thing about roundups that's really nice is that if you want to be writing longer pieces, but you're not feeling up to it, you're not feeling confident about stringing together such a long piece of writing in a journalistic setting, roundups can be a great way to build your relationship with that editor and still be assigned the longer word counts. And reviews are an interesting case in these trade magazines. Like I said, there's some types of trade magazines that are still doing them. But reviews in many cases on the industry side have moved online. And so any situation in which you could be doing a review for travel trade would have to be a place that was just opening. And so it needs to be a situation where either you happen to be there and happen to pitch it at the right time, or more likely where you know the editor and they have sent you, or they've been invited on a press trip and they send you on the press trip instead. Okay, so pitching travel trade magazines. We're going to spend all of next week talking about how to put together something called a letter of introduction, which is different than but similar to a cover letter like you might do when applying for jobs, but it has some particular and specific pieces that go into it. But the thing about pitching travel trade magazines is, like I said earlier, you're never quite sure when you write the editor if they are going to already have their editorial calendar done to minutiae, that they know exactly which places they want featured and they have all the interviews already lined up for an article, or if they're going to tell you a topic from their editorial calendar and ask you to pitch. So what I recommend, and there's a few exceptions to this, and we'll talk about this again next week, what are the exceptions here, but what I recommend is that anytime you find a travel trade magazine that you are interested in, your first point of contact with that editor is going to be a letter of introduction that closes expressing your availability to send them specific pitches at their request. So, like I said, the thing about travel trade magazines is that they want to know your writing ability and they want to know your experience or your knowledge of their industry. And they're equal. So, if you have enough experience in their industry or related to their industry, they might not care all that much about your writing ability. So this is a very weird area here. So whereas usually with consumer and custom magazines, your pitch is everything. Your pitch is your writing sample. Your pitch is you showing the editor how well you understand their publication, how well you know how to come up with ideas, how well you know how to string words together, both in terms of your email as well as your writing for articles. When you are trying to get in with a travel trade editor, it's very different and it's much more akin to interviewing for a job where you need to be proving your background and everything before you ever get to the point of doing work for them. So next week we're going to talk all about when you should write a letter of introduction and when you shouldn't, and how to put together a letter of introduction, and how to put it together based on whether you have background in that industry or not, and how to slant what you do have into something that can work for that industry. So I highly recommend, in the meantime, if you have a background in something, whether it's specifically, like there was a travel agent on here earlier, or something else that is related, and I have a friend on who's probably going to be listening to this in the replay, who does sort of concierge travel bookings. This is great. I had ghost blogged, so I had written as the person, not as myself, for several years for a concierge, I guess itinerary consultant might be the clearest way to describe what they do. People come to them and say, oh, you know, I want to go to Italy, I want to do things like this, can you help me out? So I had ghostwritten for someone like this for several years. And so even though I didn't have any specific background in group tours, like I literally think I'd never been on a group tour in my life when I started writing for tour operator-focused magazines, I was able to say very sideways that I understand that customer. So we'll talk about how to make those sort of sideways little shimmies in your letter and how to make them make sense. But if you have a situation like that, whether it's clear or a sideways shimmy, send me an email. I'm going to get to the email address in a couple seconds, but you can also just respond to any of our emails or the GoToWebinar emails. Send me an email with your situation, because I would really love, and it'll be so much better for me to use real ones than to just make ones up off my own experience off the top of my head. I would really love to use people's backgrounds next week to workshop writing the letters of introduction for different magazines. So I noticed somebody over here on the side saying, I'm a hybrid tour and travel business and expert. If you are an expert in any sort of travel topic, like I was when I was at TBEX, there was somebody who's positioned himself as an expert in stretching your budget when you travel. If you, through your blog, have positioned yourself as an expert in something, you can totally work with that with the Travel Trade Magazines. Thanks so much for joining me, guys.